We are grown up now.
Mm-hmm.
We are grown up now. Baba here is saying, this awareness produces in every being this sense of I-ness when we come to the body. The awareness is free until the body appears. Then it turns to I-ness. It is expressed in the term aham. Only aham means I. When this I identifies itself with the body, it takes the form of ahamkara, the ego. This is the false I, not the true I. And I think a lot of us, I don't mean us, people on a spiritual path, they want relief. I know I came to it because of the relief. So we get relief. And like Mamad was saying, we get some momentary bliss. But that's not enough. Because Baba is saying, to understand and realize that awareness that is infinitely present is you. So that ego dies down. So, all the practices we do is to identify what is real and what is not. And also not going with the mind, what is, you know, discrimination. And we get to a point that, okay, now we know. Now we know that the mind thinks and the creation is in the mind. Now we really have to put our emphasis in not identifying with it, you know? And to identify with what Baba says, that pure I-ness is like the meditation of be conscious of the conscious. So I think now we are taking it to another phase where we are not after remedy, we're after realization. So it's more attention goes to the fact that if the thoughts are not real and we all realize it, then who am I? To calming the mind is a huge achievement, but is not enough. For those that have already know how to calm the mind, because once the mind becomes active, you're again back into the bazaar. The only thing that would remedy the whole thing is recognizing and realizing who you are. So we spend years and years to realize who we are not, right? Now what are we going to do with it? And that's what I think we all need to emphasize. Like Mamad was saying, that bliss is that, yes, but it's very temporary. The reason it's not constant is because we have not completely realized ourselves, which is embodiment of bliss, Ananda. So, are we satisfied with the momentarily silence or prolonged silence and all of that, which is fantastic? But I think this one here is saying again and again, when this I identifies itself with the body, it takes the form of ego. As simple as that. And the problem starts. This is the false I, not the true I. This is why I don't recommend meditation as a person that is going to meditate or a person that wants to go deep in a meditation, because that is not consciously recognizing who you are. Mm-hmm. And we live in the world of consciousness. That's all we have in our sight. So we need to use it every day more. And omnipresent meditation, trust meditation is really good for what Baba says, because in omnipresent meditation, you feel the unity. And that's as close as you can get, is you dissolve. You no longer identify in your body. And then if the taste can linger on longer and longer, then it makes it more and more. But I really like the last 2-3 sentences. Mm-hmm. What man needs today is to take the resolve to realize Atma. He does not say what man needs now is to be moral, to go save the world, to work really hard, to do puja and up and down, which are all good. I'm not talking about that, but we're sitting in this room and we're reading what he's saying, right? We can't deny that. He says, in this universe, there is nothing that is not Atma. What man needs to do today is to take the resolve to realize the Atma. This is tantamount. To realize one's true self. Yeah, it's huge. What he's saying is huge thing to do, to realize yourself. And I come to realize myself that once you know yourself, you don't need to do the gymnastic, well, this one is God too, this one. It already eliminates all the body from the picture, whether it's mine or somebody else's. In that moment of realization, it's like omnipresent meditation, where all you have to do is connect yourself. You don't need to worry about the world, because what is there in the world that you're not? Yeah.
Seth, can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. You said that for a long time we practiced who we are not, and now we have to know who we are. And I want to know, what is the practice, the best practice for it? Is it to be conscious of the consciousness, or
how much do we go with the fact that we know who we are not? How much do we disidentify with who we are not? Right? Yeah, right. So we know what we are not, but are we fully practicing what we are not?
No.
So that's our next step. For all of us. I mean, temporary hair helps a lot. And we've done our homework so well. Now, when are we going to disidentify more and more?
I feel you're talking about that skyscraper, and tonight you want us to go
one more floor. Yeah.
Trying to push us.
No, I think when I talk to myself, you know. I mean, they're not. I'm not sitting here talking to you guys. Yeah.
I have a question. So when I identify myself as a mother, is that ego or is that...
Oh, definitely is ego, but that's not the problem. It's much deeper than that. You allow your roles to go on, your emotion to be attached to it, as we never ever want to disjoint what our role is. What I'm really saying is inwardly, as we're watching the mind not being more and more who we are not, at the same time, without moving our roles or any emotion that goes with it, we find out, then I am the awareness. If I'm not that, right? And I know I'm not that because it's temporary. Then I'm like, and then you play the role. It's really beautiful where we are guided to not move anything except our own expansion of consciousness and freedom. Yeah. I don't think, as far as my role of motherhood goes, I have moved the inch since I have the kid. Neither have I gotten better or less, or my attachment gone, or this and that. But the changes happens in such a subtle thing that, like Mamad was saying, you feel freer. You feel okay in an un-okay situation with your family, or we lose our sensitivity, and we lose our repeated thoughts.
Question. Bobo says, what makes you forget is also Atma. Why does he say that? What does he want to communicate?
Well, forgetfulness is really, really important part of the humanhood. It's really important to be forgetting because we live by memory. So it's really good to forget. What he means is the Maya makes you forget. And Maya also is what God is. That's what I take it to be. It again goes back to misidentification. Are we I as the ego, or are we the free I without a subject-object? If we didn't have a subject and object, what would we be?
That, question number two, I think, is really, you know, if I know how to distinguish, you know, I'm there. So, but back to question number one, I think one way to do it is just leave the ego behind. You know, if there is no ego, there is, and the sign of ego is, and desire. When there is no desire, means then I left the ego behind. And when I do that, then
you don't leave the ego behind to be a humble, good man. You leave the ego because you are no longer identifying with it.
Mm-hmm. That's what there I mean. Not to be that I'm good person. To that's what I said. You know, leave ego behind in that no desire. Ego is, you know,
yes.
The connection is a desire. If there is no desire, like in I want to make a decision between something, there is no desire because this is better for me or for my children, but it's better for somebody I don't like. You know, there is no ego. I, you know, just
And
I have no desire for anything. So that's what I mean.
Yeah. But there is letting go of the desire by deep understanding, and there is a letting go of the desire because this is the teaching to let go of the desire, where Baba says, when the desire, like you were saying, comes with an understanding, we realize that every desire has a price on it. Even when it's fulfilled, the price is it delays our arrival. So when we look at it this way, and I don't mean that we should become desireless, the body has desire. What I mean is not even for this people here. When the desire multiplies, right? When it multiplies, it occupies the whole of our being, whether it is thoughts, feelings, even our bodily. So, yeah, what you said is absolutely right. But everything that turns to realization has to be through a deep understanding. Not a understanding where someone says the truth, we say we understand. That's not enough at all. What that person is saying is, I'm inspired by your words. That's it. Deep understanding is by repetition of hearing the same thing, dwelling on it, and try to put it into a art of living, meaning day-to-day approach to life. And that is not easy at all. This is why we have satsang, we have Baba to allow us to sit in this room and talk about it, because it is like climbing a pretty much impossible thing, but we are chosen one to climb it. So we're just going to have to do it. I hate to be in the valley. Right?
Yes. Yeah. So sometimes I feel like I'm climbing 10 steps and the next day it's like 2 steps down or 3
yes.
steps down, because I cannot be the same always though.
Yeah.
I have a reminder telling me, but still sometimes the ego.
Yeah. But so you do that, you were absolutely right. Something push a very old impression in you, and it comes up, and sometimes it causes a havoc, which is great, because then it leaves a scar on you. Scars are good. But overall, if you want to take an inventory of your thing, do not look at it from the first floor. Go on the roof and look at yourself 5 years ago, and you look at yourself now.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? My understanding of this was based on the direct line of direct line of attention that you mentioned at the end of conscious subconsciousness meditation, that by seeing that we're not any of those, attention comes back to ourselves.
Yeah.
And even if it's temporary, to know that exists. Then that's the art of living. It's not that.
Okay,
and
so
I
you
think
say
you mentioned that
yes,
one time.
Yes, it is. It is, and continue. But you say to know that that exists is not good enough.
To remember, I mean.
That's not good enough. You have to see who exists. Then you realize it's you that exists. Not that exists. You don't go to your heart.
Yeah.
With your ego and say, I'm here and you exist. I see you, you're there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. During the day when the attention is out, to know, that's what I mean, to know that this is not real.
And what is real then?
When I was completely silent and aware of myself, self-aware, you know, conscious of consciousness. I'm not staying in it all the time. It's a temporary.
Yeah, this is very good. Can I ask you a question?
Please.
So you go to silence, and then what do you do there?
I'm just paying attention, aware. That's all I do. That's all. Aware of the fact that I'm silent.
That's good.
there's no thought, there's nothing,
mm-hmm.
just aware of my own, the silence.
As long as you're aware of your silence, or you're aware that you are silence, that's good.
Yeah, there are no thoughts, and Mansur doesn't exist. For a very mm-hmm. split second, doesn't exist at
yeah.
that time.
Yeah.
But yeah. I can't stay there.
Yeah.
I come back, you know, and go to work or whatever.
Daily. This is why I think it's time for us to realize by watching ourselves, not with the closed eyes at all, by watching how monkey the mind is, not even to stop it, by watching it. When you watch it, you have already stopped. But this time you're really watching it. And then by doing that, when you go to silence, because you know you're not those, and of course it doesn't exist in silence, but there is a realization that you didn't have before. Does everybody get it a little bit? What's happening? That's okay. There was a guy that they used to do a, when he went to see Ramana, he would sit in the back quietly, unmoved, silent. After a while, after an hour, Ramana said, go shake him. Tell him if he wants to sit quietly, he can go outside. Because his all his teaching was conscious awareness in order to last. And that's what you are doing now. It's really interesting because everybody push meditation. And we do meditation, but our meditation is contemplation because we have talks. So that's why we put talks, so you can contemplate and not just sit there and watch your mind running around or just silence. It's really interesting that highest realized people, their advice is consciously realize yourself. Consciously look at your thing, because we are in the world of consciousness. If we were not conscious, we wouldn't see our body or the world. So it's really important to do all our practices consciously. Like when we want to do a stop meditation, consciously look at your mind and not go with it. Not to push it aside and say, no, I'm not going with you. Face it, look at it. Be conscious and let release it. You see the difference? Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of times we're dreaming that we're awake,
mm-hmm. okay.
that we're practicing. We're actually still sleeping. But when you're conscious, you're awake. When you're awake, you're effective. Baba said something that is really eye-opening. When I heard it, I didn't like it at all because I was so naive. He said, as a human, you're a puppet in the hand of God. He just pulls everything he wants to. Showing that we're not the doer, we're at the mercy of the puppeteer. But as we begin to break that understanding, next thing you know, we are the puppeteer. Wow. Not as a human, by the way.